Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
There are two things that we must remember as God's people in this period of time. We must remember, number one, that only grace separates us from the lost. Only grace separates us from the lost. And since that's the truth, we should never become prideful of our salvation.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 29, in a message titled, "The Condemnation of the Religious Man." Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And then James would echo what Jesus said in his epistle when he spoke of not being hearers of the law only, but being doers, lest we deceive ourselves. So the Jews had basically deceived themselves, trusting in their possession of the law, failing to realize that they were to be keepers and doers of the law. But then they also trusted in circumcision. And so Paul moves on to deal with the issue of circumcision in verse 25. "For circumcision is indeed profitable," he says, "if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, who even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law?" Now, these are highly inflammatory statements that Paul is making right here. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that would cause the Jews to just become outraged at him. And of course, we know from the history recorded for us in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul never did all that well in preaching to the Jews because he could not restrain himself from telling them the truth. And every time he did, they were angered to the point of trying to destroy him. They were trying to kill him. So these are very inflammatory things that he's saying. But of course, he's saying them as a Jew, somebody who's been right there, but he's also saying them as a prophet. He's speaking the word of God to them. And so he goes on in verses 28 and 29, and he says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." So they trusted in possession of the law first. Secondly, they trusted in circumcision. Now, what was circumcision? Circumcision was simply this. It was the outward sign of the Jews' covenant with God. This was the mark in their own flesh that signified that they were God's covenant people. The outward sign, though, according to Paul, and Paul's simply repeating what God said through the prophets, the outward sign was valid only when there was a corresponding inward reality. So in other words, the outward sign didn't necessarily mean anything unless there was something inward that corresponded to it. So here's what he's saying to them. Those who did not possess the outward sign, the Gentiles, they're not circumcised, but did have the inward reality, he says that they would judge those who only possess the outward sign. So you see what I'm saying? This is the kind of thing that would just, I mean, this would, you know, this would just get these guys so worked up. Just remember when Paul was preaching there in Jerusalem. You remember the story there in Acts, just that place actually where he's finally arrested. But he's preaching, and Well, first of all, he goes into the temple and they're upset because they hear that he's out amongst the Gentiles, that he's speaking against the temple and the law and all of these different things they accuse him of. And so when he comes into the temple, they grab him with a mob. And they're about to tear him to pieces. And word comes to the captain of the Roman guard there on the temple precinct that, you know, there's a riot going on and you got to go down and sort this out. So they go down and they deliver Paul from this mob. And as they're taking Paul up to the barracks, Paul says to the captain of the guard, he says, let me speak to these people. I've got a message. I've got to speak to them. Let me speak to them. And the guy said, okay. So Paul begins to address them. And when he begins to speak to them in Hebrew, everybody calms down and they start listening to him. And he goes on to talk about his own testimony and how he felt just like they feel, how he could understand what was going on in their hearts, because he himself used to be in the same position. And he goes on, then he begins to talk about Jesus, and he begins to talk about the cross, and he begins to talk about the promises of God and all of these things, and everybody's listening attentively to him. And it seems like Paul's got them in his grip, and it seems like there could be a mass conversion of Jews right there on the Temple Mount. But as he's going on in his message, he suddenly makes this mistake. He mentions favorably the Gentiles. He says that God warned him to get out of Jerusalem, and God said, I'm going to send you far from here to the Gentiles. And it says in the passage there, it says, they listened attentively to him until he said this one word. And when he said the one word Gentiles favorably, they went ballistic and they wanted to destroy him. Now, can you imagine what they would have felt like hearing what he's saying right here? Because there he just simply says, God said he's going to send me to the Gentiles. Here he's telling them, the Gentiles, the uncircumcised dogs, from your perspective, they're going to judge you. Oh, you don't say that to a Jew. That is just unheard of, unthinkable. Paul is out of his mind. This guy has completely lost his mind. That's what they would be thinking at this point. But he's going to continue and go on and build this irrefutable case. Ultimately, that's what he will do. But then he goes on to say, in essence, this, that a true Jew is circumcised in the heart, not merely in the flesh. But you see, this is not something that only Paul said. This is something that the prophets said over and over again. Over and over again, the prophets would refer to the need for Israel to circumcise their hearts. The prophets would warn of judgment that would come upon them ultimately because they were uncircumcised in their hearts. So the idea of a circumcision of the heart was not a new idea. It was one that they had always just really sort of ignored. And they put the emphasis on the externals. And so that's what he's referring to here when he says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. It's something that's done by a work of the Spirit internally. It's not something that happens by external observation to the letter being a reference to the law.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
And then he says these words concerning that person whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, here's the interesting thing. The word Jew is derived from the name Judah. Judah, of course, was one of the sons of Jacob, and Judah became the most significant of the tribes. And the name Jew was derived from Judah. Judah means praise. So to be a Jew really means, in its purest sense, it means to be one who praises God. But Paul says those who praise God are not those who have an outward, external thing. The ones who praise God are the ones who have a circumcision of the heart, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You see, one of the big problems with the Jews and one of the big problems with religion in general is so often what's being done is being done to be seen by men. It's being done to please men. It's being done for the praise of men. And that was certainly the case in Paul's day. Paul would say of himself as an apostle, looking back on his previous life, he said, "If I were still a pleaser of men, I would not be a servant of Christ." And so as a Pharisee, he was interested in pleasing men. Jesus even said that, didn't he? He said that so much of what the Pharisees did, they did to be seen by other people. They did so that they might receive praise from men. And so Paul's talking about a truly righteous person is a person who's concerned with the praise that comes from God, not with the praise that comes from men. And so, now, from these verses, let me just add this quick sort of a side note here. Some have interpreted from these verses that every Christian then is a Jew. That's not what Paul is saying. What he's saying is that not every Jew is a Jew. Again, this would be highly inflammatory to Jews, even this today, but this is the reality. Only those with a circumcised heart are Jews. A circumcised heart in this context really refers to an embracing of the Messiah and an indwelling of the Spirit and a justification by faith through God's grace. So only Jews who believe in Jesus are true Jews as far as God is concerned. Because a true Jew isn't one who's just a Jew ethnically or even a Jew religiously, externally, but a true Jew is one who's had his heart circumcised, and that is a work of the Spirit. Now, the third thing that they trusted in, as I pointed out, was their descent from Abraham. This was huge with the Jews, and you can see it coming up many times over in the Gospels. You see it right in the early stages of the ministry of John the Baptist. You remember when he's preaching and he's calling the nation to repentance, and the rabbis, the teachers, they come from Jerusalem, and they're sort of looking down their nose at John and just sort of, who is this guy? We don't recognize his authority, kind of a thing. And John says, "Don't say in your hearts, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For God is able to raise up stones. From these stones, God is able to raise up children for Abraham." So that was a mentality that we're Abraham's descendants. They said to Jesus on one occasion, "We be Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. We're the children of Abraham." Jesus said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do what he did. You're not doing that." And then again, later, they would make that same sort of a claim. "We're Abraham's children. Who are you?" So descent from Abraham was huge among the Jews. And this is something that Paul will address over and over again as we follow his arguments through the epistle to the Romans here. So suffice it to say, it's an issue with the Jews, but we'll leave it, and because we'll revisit it again, especially when we come to chapter 9. So this whole portion of Scripture, although originally written to the Jew, has application in principle to those who call themselves Christians. And that's what I want to sort of focus on for the rest of our time together tonight. In principle, these same things can be applied to those who call themselves Christians. Now, self-righteousness and hypocrisy always lead to God's name being blasphemed among the unbelievers. We need to remember that. God forbid that the same thing would be said of us that was said of the Jews. And of course, tragically, the reality is it has been said, it could be said today. But hopefully it's not said of us personally or individually. Hopefully we're not contributing to that God being blasphemed among the unbelievers because of the way we're living. But self-righteousness and hypocrisy will always lead to that. So there are two things that we must remember as God's people in this period of time. We must remember, number one, that only grace separates us from the lost. Only grace separates us from the lost. And since that's the truth, we should never become prideful of our salvation. We should never look down our nose upon lost people. We should never think ourselves better than those that are lost. We always have to keep at the forefront of our minds that but for the grace of God, there go I. I'd be in the same position were it not for God's grace. The only thing that separates me from the sinner, the only thing that separates me from the person who's perishing is the grace of God has been inserted into my life. And what is the grace of God? It's God's free gift. It's unmerited favor. So it's not because I earned it. It's not because I did something to deserve it. It's not because God looked at me and said, well, you know, he's just a little bit better than that group there, and I'm going to take him because of that, and I'm going to elevate him and bless him. Anytime I think like that, my thinking is completely wrong. I am what I am, Paul said, by the grace of God, meaning I am what I am by unmerited favor. I am what I am because God just put his hand on me and called me, and all I did was just simply respond to that call. So we've got to remember that. Because sometimes what can happen is we can lose sight of where we came from. We can forget the extent of God's mercy and grace that was shown to us, and we can start looking down at other people, and we can start feeling superior to them, and we can start acting self-righteously, and we can be a real stumbling block to them in the sense of drawing them to Christ. They're not going to want to come to the Lord if they sense that holier-than-thou kind of attitude that's with us. So we've got to be on our guard against that. That's number one. Secondly, we must remember to practice what we preach. We must practice what we preach. And this is probably one of the greatest hindrances to the furtherance of the gospel is Christians not practicing what they preach or not living what they claim to believe. This is the thing that people are very put off by, as you well know. People just don't. They don't go in for that. If you're saying one thing, they want to see you doing it. And of course, it's not just the people that want to make sure you're practicing what you preach. God tells us to do the same thing. And so we've got to really be diligent in that area. And since we've got to practice what we preach, You know what that will lead to? It will lead to a lot more thoughtfulness before we say things. And it will also lead to a lot more grace in the way we say things. Because if I realize that, you know, the standard that I put out there is the same standard that's coming back on me, then I have got to make sure that, when I'm speaking, that my speech is always with grace. You know, there's ways that we can come off to unbelievers, and it can be such a turnoff. It can just push them, repel them away from the Lord rather than draw them to the Lord. So we've got to be really wise and sensitive, and, you know, considering our own selves, is that's a great place to start. Paul says that to the Galatians. He's talking about the person who sees another brother that's overtaken in a fault. What does he say to do? He says, you who are spiritual, go to such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So you see, it's again, the attitude, it's the heart that God is wanting to make sure is right with us. Even as we approach an erring brother, even as we approach somebody who's stumbling, even as we encounter somebody in sin, we need to keep in mind our own need for grace. I need grace, and so I want to be a dispenser of grace to others. You see, God is more concerned with the heart than with outward religious forms. And that is made clear over and over again in the pages of Scripture. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God's looking at the heart. Now, taking what Paul said here, the principle that he said here, and applying it to ourselves as Christians rather than just leaving it with the Jews, let's look at the things that he talks about here and how they might apply to us. So to the Jew, of course, he's talking about circumcision. He's talking about this ritual. He's talking about this outward thing. Now, we don't have circumcision in the Church of Jesus Christ, but what we do have is we have baptism. And there are similarities between the two in as far as what they actually, what they symbolize. So circumcision symbolized the cutting away of the flesh, cutting away of the old sinful nature. Baptism signifies the death and burial of the old sinful nature, the old man. We were buried with him through baptism. So it's a kind of a corresponding thing. But again, the outward sign is valid only when there is a corresponding inward reality. So in other words, if we're simply trusting in baptism to save us, the outward external act, then we're deceiving ourselves and we're just like the Jews of Paul's day.
Take a quick break and listen to what Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are saying about this month's resource on Back to Basics.
Hey Brian, I heard this month that you are offering the book Radical Prayer by Manny Mill.
Yes, this is the book we're offering, and this is a really, really fantastic book. Manny is an amazing guy. He has just such an intense passion for the Lord. Everything Manny writes and does in his ministry has radical before it, because it really is radical. And this book, Radical Prayer, is based off of the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. And it's just a real encouragement to pray. And you know, if we need anything in this day and hour, we need prayer, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this book is just going to be a great encouragement for people to pray. Just a lot of great scriptural exhortation, a lot of good personal stories interwoven. And I think people are going to be really blessed by it. So hope they enjoy it.
Yep, Radical Prayer by Manny Mill.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson, for stopping by the studios and sharing your experience with this month's resource. You can order Manny Mill's book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, Radical Prayer, and then click on the donate button. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your generous support of this ministry. So for a donation of any size, we will send you Manny Mills' book, Radical Prayer. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.